Hello, this is World Business Report from the BBC World Service, where we bring you the latest in money, marketing, manufacturing, and yes, much, much more. Please review us, rate us, share us wherever you can. BBC podcasts are supported by advertising.
Wer die Finanzen eines Unternehmens managt, ist oft beschäftigt. Sehr beschäftigt. Sehr, sehr, sehr beschäftigt. Konto ist das All-in-One-Geschäftskonto, um Ihr Unternehmen zu managen. Egal, ob Sie selbstständig sind oder die Finanzabteilung eines mittleren Unternehmens leiten, mit Konto erledigen Sie alles in einer App. Geschäftskonto schnell eröffnet? Erledigt. Ausgabenmanagement? Erledigt. Buchhaltung und Reporting? Erledigt. Konto, das Geschäftskonto, das zu Ihnen passt.
Das Besondere sehen. Ein paar Brillengläser kaufen? Zwei Paar bekommen. Zwei für eins. Jetzt bei Apollo und auf apollo.de.
Hello and welcome to World Business Report here on the BBC World Service. I'm Rahul Tandon. Plenty coming up on this edition, including this question for the Democratic Party.
We have engaged in a process of talking to each other. Those conversations have been candid, comprehensive, and clear-eyed, and they continue. Until that process has concluded, I'm not going to address what any outside stakeholders may have to say about this matter.
If you're wondering who that was the Democratic House Minority Leader in the US, Hakeem Jeffries. He was responding to questions about whether President Biden should continue as the Democratic's presidential nominee. More on that shortly. And we're going to be talking about Kenya, where there's more political upheaval with the removal of the cabinet following those deadly protests about tax. But we are going to start in the United States because it is the world's biggest economy. What happens there has a huge impact on the global economy, on global politics as well. And sometimes in politics, it's not what you say that's important. Sometimes it's not even how you say it. Sometimes it's just how people are talking about you. And that mood music can deafen your political ambitions. For President Joe Biden, the end of the NATO conference and his subsequent solo press conference is being widely seen as his chance to change the record with these concerns about his age. He'll appear about an hour from now as I speak. And here on World Business Report, we'll bring you what America and the world wants to hear or otherwise from their president. One of the big concerns for him at the moment is that a number of Democrats are saying publicly that he should now step aside. And there's been added pressure with lots of advice coming from those in the world of entertainment. We talked about George Clooney, didn't we, on the program yesterday. Many donors are now also openly saying it's time for the president to stand down. The actor Michael Douglas has fundraised for Joe Biden.
It's a painful, painful decision because I admire the man tremendously. I personally had a fundraiser for him at Mar House in April, and I think he's done an incredible job. But I am worried, not this week or next week, but let's say next year. And it's just so hard for me to imagine a man 4.5 years down the line from now, particularly at a time that's so combative, that requires somebody to really be so articulate.
We're going to bring you lots of different voices from the U.S. now. Let's start with Rima Rahman, White House correspondent for The Hill in Washington, D.C. I'm sure, Rima, thanks for joining us on the program. You, like many others, are going to have your eyes focused on this press conference in about 55 minutes' time. For our listeners, put into perspective why it's so important for President Biden.
Sure. So this is going to be the first time that the president faces journalists, and he's slated to go before quite a few today as he closes out the NATO summit, which occurred in Washington this week. And this is really the first time where he's going to face what we expect to be quite a few questions about his fitness for office, his mental acuity, and whether or not he believes that he could win in November amid, you know, the last 2 weeks of lots of different pressures coming from the Democratic Party in terms of people wanting him to step aside or perhaps at least rethink whether or not he should continue his re-election bid.
Rima, you're there in Washington at the moment. We've seen in the last few hours, haven't we, more figures from within the Democratic Party calling on him to stand down. But how those numbers weigh up with those who want him to carry on?
Sure. Well, to put things into some context, you know, the number of Democratic lawmakers in Congress who have called for him to step aside number in about, they're about a dozen or so. That's out of 535 lawmakers in Congress in total. So it is quite a fraction of a number of lawmakers who have clearly asked for him to step aside. But there is a growing chorus of people who are not being as clear in terms of whether they want to see him run. There's some people suggesting that he can't win, but aren't quite saying he should drop out. Some of these people are in their own tough races. So, you know, the people who are perhaps in areas where it could go Democratic or Republican are sort of saying something a little bit different than those who are in safer places. So, the sort of chorus coming from the Democratic lawmakers is varying at this point between dropping out, don't think he can win, not sure he's the best candidate. I think the most notable thing, though, is that no matter what these people are calling for, no one is exactly talking about what they expect to happen next. And no one appears to be coalescing around any other individual at this point, should Biden actually step aside in 2024.
A lot's going to maybe depend on what happens in the next few hours. But what is your gut feeling of what is going to happen over the next few days? Do you expect that pressure to increase? Could we actually see him standing down in the next week or two?
You know, I'm not sure. He's been very clear that he doesn't believe he needs to go anywhere. He's been very clear in saying he's staying in the race, and he's been sort of fighting back at some of his critics. What I do know is that he's got this press conference tonight. He's going out on the campaign trail tomorrow, and then he is very notably going to spend the weekend in Delaware with his family. His family are people who very much influence his political decisions. So it's possible that after some of those conversations, I don't know if he could change his mind or maybe start thinking a little bit differently. But at this point, I would be pretty surprised if, say, he dropped out in the next day or two. But we will see what happens. Who knows, what sort of reporting or what sort of new information we will get that might influence his decision.
Rima, it's going to be a busy few hours for you. I'm pretty sure about
that. Indeed.
Thank you so much for joining us. Let's bring in Gideon Steen. He is a philanthropist and a major donor to the Democratic Party. Gideon, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your patience of holding on the line there. You're somebody who has put substantial amounts of money into the Democratic Party. Are you willing to continue to do that if President Biden remains the nominee for the election in November?
Rahul, it's a pleasure to be here. And as I've consistently said since the debate debacle about 2 weeks ago, we had planned to contribute more than $3 million on top of about $1 million that we've already spent to help defeat Donald Trump. We're still spending on the House and Senate races, and we will resume funding the presidential race if and when Biden steps aside. If he doesn't step aside, we don't think we can win in the critical battleground states that he needs to carry. And so we, my family, will focus on down ballot races and the political machinery needed to elect Democrats up and down the ballot. But we will not fund the presidency.
And Gideon, I'm sure that you speak to many other donors as well. You are doing that at the moment. Are other donors also taking a similar decision? Could we see some of the funds for the president beginning to dry up?
I do. I'm speaking to donors constantly, and a surprising number of them have told me that they are sitting with their dry powder, and they've been very explicit about that until the president makes a decision here.
Is it almost coordinated, the action of the donors, to put pressure on him?
I would say that there is a lot of discussion among donors, and any coordination has happened more organically, where everybody who watched the debate and came together the next day to talk about it, realized that we needed a new ticket in order to beat Donald Trump.
A lot of people are going to be watching this press conference that President Biden will hold in about 50 minutes. Will you be watching it if he does well there? Will you change your decision?
I absolutely will be watching it. I'd say it's very important, but quite honestly, the train has really left the station either way. The president has not done nearly enough to allay voters' fears about his ability to forcefully make his case against Donald Trump. And we all live in terror of, if not today, then tomorrow or the day after, him tripping and falling, or he forgetting where he is, or having an experience like he did at the debate 2 weeks ago.
If President Biden, and it's a big if, and there is no sign at the moment that he is willing to withdraw as the next candidate for the presidency against Donald Trump. But if he was to, who would you want to see replace him? Would you be happy to put your money back in to Kamala Harris, or do you want to see somebody else on the ticket?
I've been very clear and very explicit that it is not up to donors to decide who the next candidate is. So,
but that's interesting because in a way, by withdrawing your money, you are deciding to some extent that it shouldn't be President Biden.
Well, I'm deciding that shouldn't be President Biden. And also, like former President Trump, to withdraw because I don't think he's fit to serve either. But I am not going to state, and I don't think it is the place for donors to state who they think should be the candidate. I would like some sort of process. Representative Clyburn has talked about a mini primary. James Carville had a more fanciful idea about Presidents Clinton and Obama nominating four or five candidates each and doing regional primaries that were done in a quick manner. I'm not as focused on that part. I do believe we need somebody, and it needs to be a democratic process to get there.
Gideon, we'd love to hear your thoughts after seeing what President Biden says in an hour or so. But thank you so much for joining us on the program. I want to quickly bring in Kerry Leahy here, economist at Columbia University in New York, familiar voice on the program. Those donors are important, aren't they? Those big donors like Gideon that we heard from there. But in American politics, there is a lot more money coming in terms of smaller donations as well, isn't there?
Well, that's the fact the Biden White House has trumpeted is how much money they have gathered in the past 2 weeks from these small donors, and that certainly is important. It's big, very, very hard for the president.
Kerry, we're going to have to leave you there for a minute. Your line seems to be dropping in and out there, but I think what you could hear a gist of what Kerry was saying there about the fact that we are seeing a lot of small donations coming in, but are they enough to counter the fact that we're here seeing big donors now pulling out some of their funds from the Biden campaign? We want to get out of the Washington bubble and go to some of the swing states in this election. So let's go to Nevada first and speak to Paul Barger. He is a political and government reporter for Nevada Public Radio. Paul, thanks so much for joining us. Just tell us where exactly you are at the moment. And for our listeners, Nevada's seen as a swing state. Is that still the case?
Well, I am coming to you right now from the Reno Collective, which is the studio we have here in northern Nevada. And it is a bright, hot summer day here in Reno, about 100 degrees, which is a little bit more, a little bit hotter than what we're used to. So a lot of folks are out and about trying to find ways to cool off, whether it's going to the river and trying to soak their feet or, you know, just jumping into Lake Tahoe. But to your question of whether Nevada is a swing state, I think it depends on which race you're looking at. When it comes to the presidential election, I think more and more it is not a swing state. It is looking more like this might be Trump's chance to finally win Nevada on his third try. However, when it comes to down ballot races, I think it very much still is a swing state. We do have a very contentious U.S. Senate race here, which could help decide which party controls Congress next year during the next session. So, of course, that's incredibly important. And Democrats continue to keep their edge there. They continue to keep their edge in the House of Representative races as well. So there's still very much a chance for Democrats and President Biden to pick up steam in Nevada. But given the current situation, given the polling we're looking at, and kind of given the general state of the electorate, many of them feeling very apathetic towards this election, I think that there's a lot to be seen in whether Democrats can make up that ground.
That is an interesting point, because outside we think there is so much focus on President Biden's age at the moment, so much focus on Donald Trump, that people are gripped by this election. But are they less bothered about the personalities and really more interested in the factors which are affecting their lives, the inflation, the way the prices have been going up?
It's really interesting to point that out, because, you know, Nevada is seen as the entertainment capital of the world, right? No matter where you've come from, you've heard of Las Vegas. Many people have been there. Most of the country comes here for their playground. But the people living here really do struggle. There is, you know, Nevada has the highest unemployment in the country, has some of the lowest wages, has the lowest wage growth in the country. High energy costs. People forget that. We buy a lot of our gas and a lot of our energy from California, so therefore we're paying California prices. Water, we are in a desert, comes at a premium, so water costs a lot of money. And then we have high food bills. Child care costs are among the highest in the nation here. So that drives people out of the job market. So there's very much a lot of interest in the economy. And there is a lot of belief, especially amongst voters, that Donald Trump did a better job during his 4 years in office than Joe Biden. Of course, we had the pandemic. We've had the pandemic response, all of that. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, the age and the capability there. There are voters who are concerned about that as well. And this isn't new either. I remember talking to voters in February during the Nevada Democratic primary when Joe Biden was at the top of the ticket. And even then they were saying, listen, we have concerns about Joe Biden. We have concerns about his age, whether he can do another 4 years. At the same time, we're still going to vote for him because we don't want to vote for Donald Trump. We have concerns about him. You know, I was talking to voters today. One in particular, Laura Marino, I was talking to her and her grandson as they were getting out of the Truckee River in downtown Reno. They were cooling off a little bit. And I was just asking, though, is she still going to vote in November? But she has concerns.
I think that if he had chosen to step aside, it would be kind of risky, but it is also risky for him to stay in the race. So I'm concerned about it.
I didn't like what Biden did. And I also think that Trump's kind of, you know, egotistical, kind of crazy. So it's like, I don't really like both the options. If I could go for like somebody like Bernie Sanders or something, maybe, but I know that he wouldn't get through.
I couldn't imagine anybody liking those choices and those being our only choices right now. So, and I don't know anybody who likes those choices either. So I think they both have done good. They've both done bad. And they're both crooks. that's my opinion.
Strong opinions there. Fascinating to hear from Paul Boger there from Nevada. We look forward to hearing more from him during this election campaign. Let's bring Kerry back in. Interesting to hear that whilst we focus a lot on the personalities, for a lot of people, it's still about the economics this election.
Oh, absolutely. If I've told many people that if Donald Trump had run a year before he had to, he would have run on one of the strongest economic presidencies on record with a low unemployment and low inflation rate. But COVID intervened. So that's one of the reasons why people think he's a better economic steward. So I personally think they're completely wrong on that issue. You can't get away from his 3 year of his record, which was very good.
Let us bring in another voice now, a familiar voice on the program, Ellen Voyer, founder of Women in Trucking. She joins us from Wisconsin, which is another swing state as well. We heard from Nevada there, people really focusing on the economics. Truckers go up and down the country. When you go up and down the country, are there lots of conversations about President Biden's age? Are people very worried about that, Ellen?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the age, it's competency. It's whether he can not only finish this term, but another 4 years. And so, yeah, there is a lot of conversations because right now the presidency is on everyone's mind. But to be honest with you, we're already tired of it.
You've got months to go. You've got to get to November. You're always very honest with us on the program. So I'm going to ask you a personal question here.
Sure.
At the moment, is President Biden against former President Trump? If President Biden was to pull out of the race, would that change who you would vote for? Could it change who you would vote for?
It absolutely could change who I would vote for. But I will tell you that most people, and I'm speaking just personally, not for anyone else, but most people in the trucking industry are very conservative, also very anti-regulation, because we feel like we are very heavily regulated. So the party that is going to reduce regulations, help the middle class, and boost the economy is who we're going to vote for. So right now, that's looking like the Republicans.
It may be for you. Others may have different opinions. As we're in July, so still some time to go in the campaign. But are you getting frustrated? I know you're getting bored of this election already, about the fact that it's focusing on personalities, Donald Trump, President Biden at the moment, rather than some of those economic issues that you've been talking about.
You know, I agree with some of your former speakers who just talked about how we're all tired of this and we're wishing that we had better choices, because both of these people have run before, they both served before. We already know what they're going to be like. I just wish there was some younger, more, you know, vibrant person that maybe gives us more hope. But right now, we're stuck with two choices, and we have to choose between one or the other. So...
Okay, last question to you. President Biden has just introduced the leader of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, as Mr. Putin at the NATO ceremony. I suppose that doesn't increase your faith in him.
Not at all. Not at all. He needs to be on top of world issues. And that's sad if he's calling him by the wrong name.
Well, listen, we all make mistakes. I often do it on this program. I got your name right, so you should be thankful of that. Thanks as always, Ellen, for joining.
Wer die Finanzen eines Unternehmens managt, ist oft beschäftigt. Sehr beschäftigt. Sehr, sehr, sehr beschäftigt. Konto ist das All-in-One-Geschäftskonto, um Ihr Unternehmen zu managen. Egal, ob Sie selbstständig sind oder die Finanzabteilung eines mittleren Unternehmens leiten. Mit Konto erledigen Sie alles in einer App. Geschäftskonto schnell eröffnet? Erledigt. Ausgabenmanagement? Erledigt. Buchhaltung und Reporting? Erledigt. Konto. Das Geschäftskonto, das zu Ihnen passt.
Das Besondere sehen. Ein paar Brillengläser kaufen, zwei Paar bekommen. Zwei für eins. Jetzt bei Apollo und auf apollo.de.
Joining us, you're with World Business Report here from the BBC World Service. We're going to move away from the US now and head to East Africa, because over the last few weeks here on World Business Report, we've been talking, haven't we, quite a lot about those protests in Kenya over the proposed tax rises. Well, the scale of those demonstrations, as we told you, eventually led to those taxes being scrapped. Now the Kenyan president, William Ruto, has sacked almost his entire cabinet. In a televised address, Mr. Ruto said he wanted to streamline his government to make it more efficient.
I will immediately engage in extensive consultations across different sectors with the aim of setting up a broad-based government to deal with the burden of debt, to explore raising domestic resources and revenues, eliminating wastage and unnecessary duplication over multiplicity of government agencies, and slaying the dragon of corruption.
John Mbuku is Professor of Economics at Weber State University in Ogden, Utah. He's a consultant to many organizations, including the African Development Bank. John, welcome back to World Business Report here. We have seen President Ruto take this step, sack his cabinet, saying he's going to streamline the government, make it more efficient. That is a strong statement to make. Do you think he will be able to do that?
Well, so far, many people in Kenya that I've talked to are saying that this is something that he should have done a long time ago. In fact, as soon as he came into the office. But the fear among people is that even if he's able to do it, he will only be able to do so if he consults the right people. He has mentioned that he's going to consult a broad range of people. The question is, which people is he talking about? Would he be consulting intellectuals, or would he be talking to ordinary people, especially the youth? And so the understanding in Kenya now is that he will be able to succeed to a certain extent if he actually talks to the people who are being affected by these drastic changes in the economy. Because many of them, yes.
Yeah, but he needs to do this, though, doesn't he? Because Kenya, like many countries in Africa, is facing a debt crisis at the moment, that those high interest rates not helping. So he has to take this sort of step now to cut down on the spending of the government, to cut down on the corruption that has annoyed so many people in Kenya.
Yes, he has to deal with the debt. Kenya has very significant debt, about $82 billion, depending on who you talk to. And debt service is eating close to 50% of government revenues. And so he has to deal with this. But the question that most people in Kenya are asking is, how is he going to do so? And he has suggested some reforms. But two reforms stand out that most people don't like, and that is cutting the budget. Many poor people in Kenya are saying that his reforms to cut the budget would affect primarily poor people, and they don't support those types of reforms. That's why it's very important for him to talk to the ordinary people, to talk to the young people, and try to convince them of what he's trying to do.
But just to interrupt you, though, because many of those young people took to the streets, weren't they? They were at the forefront of the campaign against those tax reforms. But he has to find the money somewhere, doesn't he? So he has to cut some government spending. He'll have to raise some taxes. Otherwise, how will he do it?
Yes, he has to. That is true. And some young people that I've talked to are in favor of cuts. But what they're saying is that he should not allow young people and the poor to bear the most of the burden of the cuts. For example, he has suggested that he would dissolve 47 or so state-owned enterprises and dismiss 50% of government advisors and suspend non-essential travel by public officers. Hmm. What those young people are saying is that these are things that should have been done earlier. The government should not have been so bloated as to be eating up a significant portion of the budget. But I think the important thing here is that in order for Kenya to move forward, it has to find ways to grow the economy. It has to find ways to improve the tourism industry, to improve agriculture, to improve the gig economy, because that's where most of the young people are employed. And that is how he can create jobs and be able to expand the tax base.
Well, let us see if he is able to do that. John, thank you for joining us on the program. Again, John Mbuku there. Let's bring in Kerry Leahy. And a lot of countries like Kenya will be looking at those interest rates globally, and some good figures on inflation today coming out of the US.
That certainly was good news. The CPI, which is considered by most to be the inflation rate, came in at only a 3% change over the past 12 months. So that is really opening the door a bit wider for the Fed to decide to eventually cut rates, which no one thinks will happen in the next meeting, or few people think will happen in the next meeting, but may happen as soon as September, just before the election.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for so long. Do you think it's going to happen, Kerry?
Yes, I think it will. The Fed is itching to cut rates. They may wait until after the election because they want to stay out politically, but they certainly are going to do it, and they're going to do it sometime in the next 3 to 6 months.
Kerry Leahy there, a familiar voice on the program, looking at those latest figures, CPI figures there on US inflation, which has been good news, will help, I'm sure, to boost the markets in the US. They've been on a bit of a tear, haven't they, over the past few weeks or so. We are going to be back at midnight GMT with Business Matters, where we will be bringing a reaction to the President Biden press conference, which will be starting in about half an hour.
Das Besondere sehen. Ein paar Brillengläser kaufen, zwei Paar bekommen. Zwei für eins. Jetzt bei Apollo und auf apollo.de.
Hi, wir sind Kathi und Christina und wir machen den Lifestyle of Longevity Podcast, den meistgehörten Podcast in Deutschland zum Thema Langlebigkeit.
Du hast einen super beschäftigten Alltag und weißt gar nicht, wie du die Zeit für gesunde Routinen finden sollst? Keine Sorge, wir zeigen dir, wie du mit kleinen Hacks nicht nur idealerweise 110 wirst, sondern auch im Hier und Jetzt viel mehr Energie hast.
Wenn du zum Beispiel wissen möchtest, wie wir dafür unsere Morgenroutinen angepasst haben, höre doch mal in Folge 18 rein. Ansonsten gibt es jeden Donnerstag eine neue Folge des Lifestyle of Longevity Podcasts.
Wir freuen uns, wenn ihr zuhört.